Are you on it?
Huh? KK4JPQ. What Andy says is, you know, it has to be concerning for someone like yourself who you probably have your property posted. And also, you know how to properly handle a firearm. You were taught by the best. I was taught by my dad. And I understand, too, that you don't point at anything you don't want to kill. You may not hit it, but you may hit it. You may not hit it, and it hit something you didn't intend it to hit. You know? Simple. 1, 2, 3. So, being in the woods during game hunting season, I don't know what goes on when Andy is monitoring those frequencies. What you say, Andy, makes a lot of sense. But at least it would tip you off to their presence. It is a good thing they didn't take your camera. They might have thought the land, if you have it posted, is being monitored, and those cameras might not, they may send the image to another recording device, and they're on camera, so they're identifiable, so they just turn and run. That's all very touchy, and it shouldn't be your concern, but I guess it is because you're the property owner. KK4JBQ.
KI4LZI. I'm in. People all about ham radios being obsessed, well, they're the same way about whether they're getting their bear or their deer. And they don't care what they got to do to get it either. I've heard them running around here on Simplex down on the marine frequencies up here, running all around here doing it. It's just, it's a good advisory thing. You better keep your, better stay alert, I'll put it that way. And during this period of time, you'll have to hear a lot of activity on those frequencies, because I hear a lot of it. And they're, like I discussed with you and John and Earl some years ago, they're using FM Simplex to communicate. So anybody that's got a 2-meter radio of some kind can program those frequencies in and possibly hear them when they're doing it illegally. KI4LZI.
4NUE, make sure I got it. I don't have an issue if somebody in the family or friend wants to hunt the property. I don't have an issue with that. But to just cross the river, I assume that he's crossed the river, that shows some significant intent. And, I mean, I saw the images. I mean, I'll send you the image if you want to see it, Larry. Andy, I don't have your number, but I've got signs everywhere that say this property's monitored by game cameras with, I forget how it's worded, but with the capability to email pictures. So steal the camera if you want. I've got your image. And, it's just, I go through this every year, it seems like. I've got a couple of images of when I first put the cameras up. There's a old logging road that goes behind the cabin down to the river, and it's probably 25 feet off of the cabin. And I've got a couple of deer cameras around the cabin. And when I initially put them up, I was pretty adamant about keeping the dates and the times correct. I don't anymore because I get so many images, it really doesn't matter. But there was one night I was there in the cabin, and I have got a picture of a guy in a hoodie. I mean, this place is so off the road that you're just like, I mean, this guy was 25 feet off of my cabin at 2 o'clock in the morning when I first inherited the property. And that's unnerving. So that's when I got the signs and posted the place. And last time I was up at the pond, there was some containers and beer cans where somebody's been up there fishing and didn't ask. I mean, if you just ask, it won't be a problem. But I don't know. That just absolutely tears me up. And I, you know, the guy in the hoodie, I mean, it's ominous. I mean, I'll send you the picture, but it's ominous. And I mean, it's just like, what is going on here, you know? But at any rate, I keep track of, you know, everything that comes in and out of the property as far as the animals go. And this is not the first time this has happened. Usually one or two times a year that I catch human activity on the property. And it, so far, this will be year number 5 since I've inherited the place, I think. Maybe longer, I'm not sure. But every year about this time, I catch images of some strange guy on the property that I don't know. Last year, it was two guys with rifles that, I mean, I had game cameras all along the trail there, and I picked them up 2 or 3 times. Got images of them sitting on the bank for, I don't know, I got them sitting there for a couple of hours with a high-powered rifle. And I don't like that. I mean that's not cool, and that gets me flying hot pretty quick, you know. If you want to hunt, then, you know, let's work something out and you can hunt. But doing it without asking, I don't know. That's an issue, you know.
Where's the eye? You certainly up here where I'm at. And like I said, I hear them too, because they're just up the band from us here in the marine frequencies, and those red dot, blue dot frequencies. Right about this time and through about mid-November, bear season and deer season, I mean, these jokers go wild up here. They'll chase a bear. It don't matter whose property is on. They'll chase them all over, and they'll have their dogs out there. You don't know where the dogs have been. Where they're going to be 3 miles from here, I hear them all over. And they're using FM Simplex. That's the reason I was telling you about that. If you're having any problems, program somebody and have it on as good of a VHF antenna as you can have. You'll be surprised what you hear, because I have for many years around here. Go ahead, Larry, KI4LCI.
Well, this is a problem. There are several solutions for it, but one way not to be, you know, not to be impacted, but all I can think is, when you are there, or somebody you know is going to be there, make sure that you're dressed in blaze orange. Make sure you can't be misunderstood as a target. My dad taught me this a long time ago. Some human beings cannot respect what a firearm can do. And the terrible thing that happens right after you pull the trigger and you weren't sure of your target. Terrible things can happen. So just, that's all I can say. I mean, I understand for the years that I've known Andy, I understand why he's concerned. But you go there to enjoy your property, you should be able to do that. and you should not be mistaken for something you're not. All it takes for some people to pull a trigger, you know this, is to hear a twig snap. KK4JPQ.
I'm kind of pretty aware. I mean, I've been around, I've hunted most of my life, and I don't do things like that unless I know exactly what's there because of how much damage that can be created. But it's just, I don't know, it's just hard to explain. It's almost like stealing or, I don't know how to describe it. It's just not, it's not cool. And, I mean, I'll find out who it is. I think I know who it is, but it just seems like every year I'm having to deal with this. And I just, I mean, just stay on your property. That's all you got to do. And I don't know. It just blows my mind that people just do that. And I mean, I think they're coming across the river. And I don't know. It's just the guy in the hoodie. If I can find this image and send it to you, I mean, it's ominous. I mean, it really is. It's just like, what is going on here? And this guy was, you know, 25 feet from me at 2 o'clock in the morning in a hoodie. I just, in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you just think about that for a minute. That's not cool. KO4NUE.
Hey, I'll go hell down. Well, you wouldn't believe what I've heard up here over the years. And seen, too, but I've heard them with their dogs up here. I'm here at the bottom of Table Rock below Lake Illinois here. Heard them with their dogs chasing after bears going up Sassafras from here. Heard them going all around here. I have even heard one of them threaten to say he said this. I hope he didn't mean it, but he said it. That if the park people up here caught him with his gear and confiscate his gear, that he was going to rough up the park people. I hope he didn't mean that, but you know, who's to know? That's what I was telling you. When it comes to this particular time during deer and bear season, up and certainly up here where I'm at, they play for whatever it is or after the bear it is, that's all that counts. Nothing else matters. KI4LZI.
Larry, I just sent you an image, and Andy, I don't have your number. I'd send it to you, but I mean, that's a guy in a hoodie. Now the time is not correct, but I'm just like, my gosh, man. I mean, what is going on here, you know? And I was not raised that way. Dad would not tolerate that with me. You know, I did a lot of coon hunting growing up, and he took me around to the people who owned the property and asked if it was an issue if I coon hunted at night, and that's just the way you handle that kind of thing, and nobody had an issue, and they appreciated Daddy, you know, working that out so I could hunt. But man, some of these people, I mean, where that cabin is, I mean, Larry, you look at the image and you tell me if that's a problem. KO4NUE.
For JBQ, I have the image. And from the cut of this, it's, and you say the date's not right. The date here is April. This is cold weather gear. If you see the the tail, it's a coat. The tail of the coat is cut straight, and it looks bulky on the rest of his frame. So that's a hooded cold weather gear. So he might have been out on a long walk. He's in the brush. You know the area better than the picture can tell. Was he bushwhacking through there?
Ken Road. That's, and Andy, I wish I could send it to you. I mean, it's ominous looking. He's on a logging road, and that's about 25, 30 feet right off of the cabin on the backside. And that's while I'm sleeping at night. And I just, you know, you just don't do that, you know. And that's the kind of stuff that can get somebody hurt. And I have yet to been able to figure it out. I really have. And I mean, it was, even though the date and the time is wrong, I'm going to say that was probably about 1 or 2 in the morning, right, 25 feet off of the cabin. I mean, he had to pass right past the cabin. And I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. But that's troublesome.
Well, that's not all. Like I said, you know about our 147-195 repeater over here. I guess it was 2 or 3 years after I got my tech license. For a week, during this period of time, I kept that 147-195 machine hopping for a week illegally. And the only way Mandel could get them off of it was to cut that repeater off for a month. Get them off of it. That's what I say. Breaking laws don't mean nothing to them. Absolutely nothing.
All I can say is that I can count on one hand the number of times I was in places where I didn't belong. I knew I shouldn't be there. So if I didn't know what I was doing there, imagine the property owner catching me there. Those times are memorable. But I did. My notion. I know what went through my mind. My notion was to find my way out as quick as I could, and get on with my life. You will never know what that individual's purpose was to be there. Unfortunately. And I think you've done all you can do. It doesn't appear that this individual is carrying a firearm. So he could be discouraged if he happened to run up on your cabin. But during hunting season, people have a bona fide reason, let's say, in their mind, to carry a firearm. And if they were to be on your property and cross your path, then there's going to be an issue. Well, I guess if I were you, well, yeah, let's put it this way. If it were me, that's a better way to put it. If it were me, I would carry and I would wear blaze orange if I was in the woods during hunting season. That's the best I can say. KK4JBQ.
KI4LZI. It was pouring rain here late one night here where I'm at. And 3:33 in the morning, and someone come down the road and spotlighted a deer. Got over in our field down here. Got it, and my sister come out, went outside and fired a gun off, and they took off after they got it. And they got down his winter, they didn't get stuck in it pouring the rain. But these people around here, for down over the hills like they up here, at this time of year especially, I mean, you got to be careful, because they do absolutely anything. They'll use anybody's radio frequency. They'll do anything. It don't matter what the law is, they're going to break it just to get that deer or that bear. KI4LCI.
Larry, I just sent you another picture that was last week, something like that. And that's, you know, this time of year, that's the kind of stuff I deal with. And it was pretty bad when I inherited the property. But when I put the signs up that said, hey, this property's monitored by game cameras, it's worded in such a way that when they see the camera, and the first thing that crosses their mind is, okay, well, I'm going to steal the camera. The way it's worded, it's kind of like, you steal the camera if you want. It's sent me an email of what's there. Now, that's not actually what's happening, but they doesn't need to know that. But that last image I just sent you is, that's the kind of stuff I have to deal with from time to time. And I'm gonna deal with the pond next. I'm gonna figure out who is. So there's a gate, a fence around the pond, and a gate on it with a lock. And they've destroyed the lock and got in the gate and left trash on the dam. And I mean, it's just, I mean, if you want to fish, just ask me. You can fish. But when you do things like that, it just gets me bent out of shape. You know, I mean, that's all I can say about that. Don't let me catch you doing it, because we're going to have a problem. And I don't know. But did you get the last image, Larry?
JBQ. I got the last image. This one, he's in full view, looking straight at the camera, like you said. I can't tell anything from the shirt that he's wearing, which has an emblem of some sort. It might just be a manufacturer's thing and not mean anything. The hat he's wearing, I can't tell anything about that either. But he looks like he's not far away from his transportation. You know, he's not out there on a long hike. He also looks like he's not carrying anything at all. No pack, no bag. So he's a wanderer. He looks harmless, but you never know. Well, I suppose it's something I have had no experience with. The only property I own is the footprint of my house. And so, but I've had relatives who own acres and acres of prime hunting land. And this is an issue. It always is. And game wardens, they can't be everywhere at once. And if someone is not leaving any track or anything that's traceable, they're trying to be stealth, you know. KK4JBQ.
KO4NUE, let me make sure I got it. What you're not seeing in the image, and if you look real close, you will. Look at the left leg pocket and look at that imprint and tell me that's not a problem.
4JBQ looks like a Glock to me.
And that is an issue. That's an issue with me. Now, another facet to this is that my daughter likes to go up to the cabin. She rides a four-wheeler up there, and she's going to do, said she wanted to do a little bit of hunting this year. And you tell me that's not a problem. And I don't know what to do about it other than, you know, maybe go to the sheriff's department. And I have done that before. But I don't understand it. I really don't, because I was not raised that way. And I don't, you don't cross that property line unless you talk with the property owner. Now, there have been a couple of times that, like you, Larry, that I, you know, have inadvertently got off of the line or whatnot, but, I mean, to me, that image is the audacity of you to come on my property with a firearm. And what you're not seeing in the picture is that there is 10 pounds of corn about 10 feet in front of him for the deer so that I can photograph them. I don't hunt them, but I photograph them. And so you tell me, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It just blows my mind. KO4NUE.
KI4LZI, do you have any of those DNR? Up to this point, DNR is for the most part still analog. Do you have any of those frequencies?
Do not, Andy. Now, there's a DNR station right there in Pickens below the county offices, and I have been by there several times to try to talk with them, and nobody's ever manning the station. But the sheriff's department has got they know the combination to the gate in case there's ever an issue. And I've told the sheriff's department they can, you know, if they want to go down and use the barbecue hut or whatever, they, you know, just let me know and they go down there and have an event or whatever they want to do. Now they've never done that, but there's one way in and one way out. And Larry, I understand what you're saying, but there's no way there is a vehicle close to where that is. It's just not possible. He came in on foot. There's a camera at the gate, and I did not pick him up at the gate. Now, I picked up a couple of crows and a couple of deer, but not him or a vehicle. So he has come in from somewhere, and the road and the property are clearly marked with signs. I don't know how many I've got that says, hey, this property is monitored with motion cameras that email. I'll have to get you an image of it. I forget what the wording is. So it's clearly marked. He knew, and it's all over the property. I mean, there's 26 of them all over the property. And there's no way he came in there and did not see that sign. It's not possible. So he clearly knew what was happening. And he proceeded anyway. Because that's where that picture's taken is in the center of the property. And he knew exactly what he was doing. Exactly.
KI4LZI. I assume you was up there when that person was up there. If you was up there, do you anywhere around you, do you hear any dogs?
No. So here is what I have found. So when I inherited the property, I did my own little survey, and I don't mean a property line survey. I walked every inch of that property to see what is, you know, what is there, and took pictures of the animals and the plant life and things like that, just to be aware of what's on my property. And I have found over the past 4 years, 5 years, I have found 3 arrows with broadheads on them, where somebody is slipping in there and bow hunting without permission. And see, I guess they get in there with a bow, there's no noise. Two separate occasions I have found two empty cartridges, 270 caliber. In two different spots, one individual round. And I would suspect it's probably a bolt gun, but that is distinctly on my property, because the property lines are clearly marked. In other words, there's no way he can get on that property line, on that property to hunt and not know that he's doing wrong. He knows he's doing it. And I would take a gamble and say that this is the individual right here that is depositing the 270 cartridges. Now, that's the ones I found. No carcass or anything, but he is illegally hunting on my property, and this is the first image that I've got of him. And I suspect that the two previous years with the 270 cartridge that I found, he's probably the one doing it. So I'm going to have to find who this is and deal with it appropriately.
KI4LZ FID. I know right down the road here, I don't know now how many years back it's been, but I found a bunch of deer carcasses, you know, left of us where they had got me and all, down there on the side of the road and on the other man's property down there. You was talking about your cameras? They stole his cameras. KI4LZI.
Still in there? Go ahead.
Oh, yes, I'm still here. KK4JBQ. I'm as puzzled about this as you are. He's not armed to hunt game. The best thing I could say is that he's carrying to, you know, personal protection. And maybe that's smart, but it's not smart to be where he is. It's just period. It's not smart to be where he is. The worst things can happen when people are surprised. So, to confront somebody, you know, and with your background, I think I'd just turn and run. But he doesn't know your background. And he doesn't know, you know, he's just there, just ignorant, I'd have to say, just ignorant of what the consequences might be. It is a multifaceted problem is what it is. Share this image with anybody that you know is in, you know, the sheriff, game warden, perhaps. Just share so that if something should happen, you're on record as being alert to the situation. And maybe they'll offer some advice. I don't know. KK4JBQ.
This works. I've been through this the first year after inherited the property. So legally, this is the way this works. So when you when you have an image like this and you know who it is, then you go to the sheriff's department and you file a no trespass order. Having the no trespass signs on the property, all that does is cover you legally if they get hurt. That's all that does. That's not prosecutable. You can't prosecute somebody with a no trespassing sign that you catch there one time. Now, where it becomes prosecutable is when you catch them there the second time after they have been notified by the sheriff in writing. Here's the property owner. You are being legally notified that you are issued a no trespass order by the county magistrate office in care of the property owner, which is me. So that's the way that works. So what I've got to do now is obviously don't confront, because now you're breaking the law. You turn that over to the sheriff's department when I find out who it is, and I'll have to issue a written no trespass order. And if I catch him on there again, then you can prosecute. But you cannot prosecute the first time if they catch on the property. The court system or the sheriff would tell you, that no trespassing sign, all that does is cover you for insurance if they get hurt while trespassing on your property, period. When the no trespass order is issued, then that's when it becomes prosecutable. So I'll find out who it is. It'll take me some time. And I'll make the decision then based on who it is, whether I discuss that with him or I go straight to the sheriff's department. But, I mean, this is the kind of stuff you gotta deal with. And it's just, it's troublesome because of where the deer camp is and where the cabin is, it's so remote that, I mean, you just think about that for a minute. it's crazy. It really is. It just blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind.
J-I-4-L-C-I, something that I've wondered about, what frequency does these dog collars operate on? I've wondered that for a long time. And if there's any way that can be tracked down, I don't know if it is, but I wish that there was some way that could be done.
Sure, I got it. Yeah, I have got those frequencies because we've got some dog collars here. We used to hunt tracking collars, and the way that works is it's more of a beacon, and every 5 to 10 seconds it sends out a chirp on that frequency. So you have back then, when we hunted, they didn't have a GPS tracking collars. They have GPS today, but most hunters are not going to have a GPS collar on their dog because of the price. But just a basic tracking collar sends out a chirp on a certain frequency, like every 10 to 15 seconds. And we basically have a Yagi handheld antenna that plugs up to a battery and then a set of headphones, and you rotate that antenna until you find the highest signal you can, and that gives you a direction to travel. But with the dogs like that, Andy, it's not, how do I word this? So when a hunter turns a dog loose to do his job, the dog does not understand property boundaries. He understands one thing, and that is to stick his nose to the ground and go where that scent is. He doesn't care. The dog doesn't care whose property he's on. So, at the end of the day, it's going to come back on the hunter because he should understand that the dog is not a sentient being or has a mind to understand that. So when that hunter turns the dog loose, he understands the second that he turns it loose that, in essence, he's going to have to break the law today because the dog is not going to stay on the property line. He's not going to do it. He's going to go where the bear or the deer is. So it starts off as a ethical dilemma in the hunter's mind. Then it turns into a legal issue the second the dog crosses the property line that he has permission to hunt on. And that is exactly what will happen. And, you know, we did a lot of hog hunting in Florida where you had hundreds of thousands of acres that we had permission to hunt on, and that was not an issue. But where you and I are, or in an area that's populated, the property boundaries are so cut up into small pieces that it's impossible. So the hunter understands that in a populated area. He understands when he turns that dog loose, he's going to break the law today, period. Period. So, you know, that's the kind of thing you kind of run into. And the thing with, let me let this drop for a second. Bear hunting or deer hunting with dogs in an area like where you live and where the deer camp for me is that the property lines are cut up into tracts that people own. And, like I said, the hunter knows the second he turns the dog loose what's going to happen. He loses control of the animal and he breaks many laws the second the dog passes the property line that he has permission to hunt on. So the tracking collar on the dogs in a populated area is not to keep track of the dog in case the dog gets lost. It is a bullseye to get in, get out, get the animal, and get the dog out. Because if you find the dog, you find the animal. If you find the animal, you get the shot. So there's a whole list of problems that when hunters in populated area with tracking collars turn dogs loose, that's a pretty good indicator that's their intent from the get-go. Now, like I said, when you're on 100,000 acres, you've got a different intent. And the intent is to find the dog. But in your area, that's not the intent. The intent is to get in and get out without getting caught. That's the intent.
JI4LCI. Oh, I frequently hear him up here. As you say, on those frequencies where they're trying to track the dogs down. And then whenever they do get done, as I've said before, it don't matter. It might be the wee hours of the morning. And during those 2 weeks, that for last week and October and first week in November, it's during the daylight hours most when they're doing this up here with bears. You hear them all around here talking on those meringue and those red dot blue dot frequencies trying to keep track of their dogs. And much to my surprise, some of them have deep bucks because some of them have got some that does use GPS apparently. Go ahead, Larry. I don't mean to leave you out, but some of this kind of irritates me, too, because we're coming up on it, and I hear it every year. KI4LZI.
4JBQ. Yeah, well, this is a part of life that doesn't really touch me, not until I hear things like this. So, Chad, that is what you say about it's the intent being understandable. I suppose there might be somebody that's ignorant. You can never really plan for the level of intelligence that you'll find in any one individual that you meet. It takes a while to get to know just how crisp they might be. Well, I understand what you're saying is pointing to a really, really big problem. I guess avoidance of the problem, that would be my choice. Confront is appropriate maybe in other circumstances. But let's just paint a picture. Your daughter wants to come up, and you said this before. You didn't elaborate, but your daughter wants to be in those woods. I suppose that's with you as well. And that just compounds the concern right there. So if that be the case, what will be your response to that, KK4JBQ?
That's a good question. And I'm hesitating, not that I haven't thought about this, but in that, on one hand, if she wants to hunt, that's my property. She should be able to hunt and do what she wants because I legally pay taxes on that property, and I bought it fair and square. On the other hand, I can say, don't hunt because here's the problem, here's the image. You see the image. Now, as a father, my mind can go in a lot of places with that. If she goes to hunt and she runs across this, who knows what could happen? I mean, let's be real about it. Right? So, what does a father do? Does he tell her, you can't hunt because somebody is illegally hunting on my property and I have concerns for you? Or I say, I pay taxes on the property fair and square, and you go hunt when you want. So, the answer to that, for this year, because this is the first year that she has wanted to hunt, is that she has a boyfriend that goes to Clemson with her. He's an avid deer hunter, experienced hunter, and I mean, I'm not going to tell her, well, if you want to go deer hunting, then I'll have to go with you. The answer for this year, and it may not be the right answer, but it's a compromise, is that Noah goes with her when she wants to hunt, or if she wants to hunt. So that's my response to that. That's my answer to that. Now, this is directed toward Andy. So if you come out of Pickens on Highway 8 past the Abner Elementary School, there is a house on the left about 200 yards past Abner Elementary. Has a big yellow sign in his yard. It's been going on for a year now. He started off with a $5,000 reward. He's got a picture of his mule. His name is Jack. $5,000 reward starting last year for the individual who shot my mule, Jack. Inquire within. Big yellow sign in his yard, and he's got these smaller signs up and down the road. Well, I noticed the other day it's gone up to $8,000, and this has been going on for a year now. So that's the kind of stuff that you run into, and somebody was illegally on that man's property with a firearm, and through frustration or no morals or ethics or whatever, shot the man's mule on his property and just left the animal laying. I assume he left him laying. And he's upset about it, and I don't blame him. That's the kind of mess you run into. So, I mean, I've dealt with this before. I've dealt with this with the second year after the property. I inherited the property. And honestly, the signs stopped most of the traffic, the foot traffic. But this year is a little different in that, you know, I've been trying to catch this guy now for, I've seen his bullets, casings laying on the ground. So I know he's harvesting off of the property. But this is the first time I've got an image. And let me say this. So let me let this thing drop first. I know I don't need to, but let me do it anyway, get my thoughts together. Grandfather taught me a parable. He called them parables, which were stories growing up. And he told me a story about seven crows and a hawk. The farmer goes out and plants the corn, and the crows come and pull the corn and eat half of the crop. So the farmer deals with this for years and decides he's going to set a trap for the crows this year. So he sets a trap in the cornfield for the crows and catches all seven of them in the trap. Well, on the other side of the cornfield was a hawk. And the hawk is trying to kill the crows for food. So the hawk sees the crows in the trap. He enters the trap to eat the crows, or to harvest a meal off of the crows that the farmer had caught. And the hawk finds himself trapped in the trap as well. So the question that goes with this dilemma is, what do you think the farmer did with the hawk when he approached the trap?
Person, I want you to give me a list of those frequencies there that those dog collars operate on so I can program them into some stuff up here. I'm assuming they're still analog, I hope, analog FM, even though some may be GPS. So when I'm hearing some of these up here doing this, because those things have to be pretty close in, if I go to hearing them, I know they're pretty close to where I'm at, because I hear them all up here around Table Rock, Sassafras, parts of Caesar's Head up there, hunting these things. I mean, and they take the dogs and they go all around up here. That's why I'm telling you, you need to get those programs in. That'll help some. KI4LZI.
Are we boring you here?
JBQ, no, you're not boring me at all. A couple of things. We're coming up in about 3.5 minutes to the 1 o'clock hour. We need to be aware that the repeater is going to time out. I don't know what it's set to right now, but if it does, the first time it does, it'll be a short time out, but it gets longer and longer if we offend it. I know this from experience. And the other thing is, Chad, when you were going to give us the punchline on the crows and the hawks, you and Andy doubled and Andy won, so I did. Neither Andy or I know the punchline on that. KK4JBQ.
Let me make sure I got it.